Welcome to the cinematic world of movies.
Any questions?
Welcome to your cinematic world of movies, your cinematic world of wonders. My name is Focus, the Batman.
I'm the man with no name, but I have a name, MC Bluetooth CCFR.
And you know how we do it every Sunday. We bring you a cinematic world of movies and TV shows, everything happening in your backyard. So you know how we do it now. We bring you the movies that dropped this week, then bring you movies for last week. We have box office, we have cinematic gist. Everything is just packaged for you. And if you've been following us on social media, you should know that we have a special guest that we will be presenting to you very soon. It's been 3 years. I mean, the last time we had him was February 27th, 2020. And now we are
Don't worry, our IMDb keeps dates. He keeps dates.
And now we are having him
again.
So let's start off with movies that dropped this week. Okay, starting off, we have the highly anticipated movie. I mean, it's out now. Nollywood movie, amazing movie. If you've seen it, it'll be a good time for you to drop one or two about it. And it's none other than The Black Book.
Yeah, that's out on Netflix. It came out, that was yesterday, right?
That was on Friday.
On Friday. Okay, I said yesterday because I didn't have light on Friday. So, it came out on Friday. If you've seen it, let's know your take before someone now say, you did not talk about Nigerian film. Start talking now.
Start talking now. Share your thoughts on it. And the next movie that dropped this Friday also, it's none other than another Nollywood movie, star-studded, and it's called A Weekend to Forget. Yes, it has Stanze in it. It has Erica. And it's about a group of seven friends who went for a retreat, and then things start to unveil themselves. Okay, so this week also we had the fourth installment to the franchise that started back in 2010 called
The Expendables 4.
Yeah, and it's almost a decade since the last one dropped, and this one is R-rated.
Has always been R-rated.
No, it has not.
Are you serious?
It has not always been R-rated.
So all the mindless violence.
Yeah, it has not always been R-rated.
Wow.
So fans wanted an R-rated Expendables, and I think they're having that with this Expendables 4.
Okay, so if you're a lover of horror, this is, of course, our horror manga. That guy loves horror. Anyway,
yes.
So if you're a lover of horror and thriller, there is the one that no one will save you.
You say you don't like to watch trailers these days, and you should. Okay, the movie is out. You should see it. It's crazy. I think it's just, let me not say too much.
No one will save you. That one is out on Prime.
Is it
out on Prime or Hulu?
Yeah, I think it's Hulu.
Anyway, for those of you that know, it's out on Hulu.
They can subscribe and go see it. Also, Sex Education Season 4, the final season, dropped also this week. And I'm 3 episodes in already. And I'm afraid to just finish it because these are characters that I've known for a while. I've been with them. You've invested so much in the characters. Otis, Maeve, you know, Eric and the rest. And now this is their final season for us to say goodbye.
Say goodbye to them. Well, good readings because I've never really enjoyed Sex Education.
What?
Okay, can I on my... Is my mic on
now?
Your mic is on. Love MC Bluetooth.
No, why? What? Why? Yeah. You check it now. See the thing, I've never really been interested in Sex Education.
Really?
Yeah.
No, it's a very good show. It's a good show.
Well, now that we're talking about good shows, I wanted Chinna to introduce another movie that came out this week. It's called Spy Kids.
Armageddon.
Are we talking about it?
No, we're not talking about it.
You've seen it.
I've seen it. And I'm pissed.
Hold on.
Your peace.
You will go to toilet soon. Okay, so guys, we are live on the movies right now. You can join the show. We will soon be opening the phone lines, but don't forget we have a guest in the studio. Don't forget to add Morty.
Let's go. All right, and finally, we have The Continental from the world of John Wick. The first episode dropped on Friday.
And it is 1 hour, 26 minutes and some seconds.
Yes, it's a three-part miniseries. One episode is already 1 hour, 26 minutes. So imagine what 2 and 3 would be.
When you say from the world of John Wick, per se,
it's from the world of John Wick. You know that the hotel is called The Continental.
Yeah. Yes.
It's a younger version of, a prequel to the world of John Wick.
Yeah. So the Wick guy is not going to be there, right?
No, it's not.
Thank
there.
God. At least I can now enjoy.
But Winston is there. Winston is there.
The black guy.
Yeah.
So
I'm okay with
the younger
him.
Version of him.
It's fine. As far as...
and just so you know, the guy that is playing the younger version is actually in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Nigeria,
that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. Yeah.
Okay, so those are the things that dropped this week. So let's check out the ones that dropped last week. Okay, you, how do you pronounce that his name again? Hercule Poirot. You say it with French accent.
Yeah, Hercule Poirot. You have to say it with a phlegm.
Hercule Poirot.
He's a lie.
Is that like that?
This is my French one. Do not let me.
This is the third installment to the Hercule Poirot of being an investigator. An investigator, and it's called A Haunting in Venice. Remember the Orient Express?
Yes.
Death on the Nile. So this is the third installment for it, A Haunting in Venice. And another movie that dropped last week on Netflix, it's Love at First Sight.
Have you seen they look at me. Why be saying that me go see this one? Calm down now.
But we're not talking anything now.
We didn't say anything.
It sounded like
a low-budget
movie.
Another one that came out is Cassandra. You can go check that one out.
You know that you would like that movie?
Yes, Cassandra. Yeah. You will like it.
You check out Cassandra.
I've not seen the trailer. I've not seen the poster.
Should I explain it a little bit for you?
You don't have to. Just feel it's just going to be bad.
No, you will like it. It's not just cheesy type of thing.
No, it's even that. It's about dress up. Guys who dress up like women to go and do fight.
I don't dress up like
it. I'm not saying you do not. We just say you will like it.
This is wrong.
Don't you like red and blue?
Red, white, and royal blue.
I did not like it. I was trying to explain connection about the movie that it wasn't about the storyline. It's about Prince Harry and Meghan.
Yeah.
I have bad friends.
You don't have bad friends. You are a bad influence.
Also, we have Miss Education. Then the Kule, Gabriel Afolayan movie with Ife Okojaye cannot. How do you pronounce it last week?
Kanani.
Kanani, yes. And then
I've been calling it Kani. Kani since.
A million miles away, and the morning show season 3 all dropped last week. It's boring.
A million miles. I expected so much, but toy just did.
Expectation versus reality.
Reality.
What you ordered versus what you got.
But then this morning show, you said it dropped last week.
Season three.
It started last week.
Another thing is, we've been talking about the fact that we've been posting up trailers on our Twitter handle, so you can check that out at Popcorn and Reels on all social media platforms, like we promised last week. So even to check the snippet of the Continental we posted,
the five minutes clip.
Yeah, we posted that so you can have a bird's eye view of what to expect, but it's already out. So yeah, if you're following us, kudos to you. And if this is the first time you are joining the show, let's shake it for you, Small.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So talk about welcoming people, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, movie lovers and enthusiasts. We want. Okay, very quickly, in our midst, we are proud to play host to the award-winning director and producer, Dimbo Atia.
Oh my God, you said it without saying, ladies and gentlemen. You are an OAP, do this well.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing on the far right corner of the studio, we have the multi award winning director and producer, Dimbo Atia.
Yeah, it's been 3 years.
Yes, 3 years actually.
Please, you guys should be inviting me more now.
We've been saying this.
This is family. This is home.
Of course, it is.
Please, let it not stay that long again, I beg.
So we've been saying this for long, that the studio is open to you guys. Please. Anytime, like you
I'm available
join.
Anytime.
Okay,
I promise you.
So talking about being available anytime, Dimbo, recently you put out a casting call.
Yeah.
And you said you were looking for a younger version of two actors.
Yes.
How did that search go?
I did not see it, but let me hear from you, sir.
So, you know how, to be honest with you, that's one of the biggest problems that we have in the industry, where most times the people who normally, subscribe or apply for these things really are people who don't have any business doing it.
I promise you, because we had
said that it was a football thing, something. Most of the people that I sent in were people who ran into the football pitch, were juggling balls, and they just they're just sending videos to say, but then we're looking for actors who can actually play football.
Before you give us all the gist on how it went down, that stuff he was looking for younger actors for is actually a series he's working on, and it's called Money in the Game. So you tell us a little bit about Money in the Game and how the process has been, because it's crazy. So tell us about Money in the Game and why does it have this? It has this star power from Mauli Gavo. You get that.
And you brought back some of the popular faces we see on
from Halita. So tell us about Money in the Game.
For the longest time, I've wanted to do something around football. football is like a third religion in this country, whether you like it or not. Yes. It's a unifier. It's a thing that we all, you know. I've always wanted to do, which is still in development, a story about the Daman Miracle, the under 17 World Cup. The boys that came from 4-0 behind to win the that's a beautiful story. I've always wanted to, but it's always been a big project.
Yeah.
So I've always wanted to do something football. And so the idea of Money in the Game just hit me. Wait, oh, apart from what we see on the pitch, there is so much that happens behind the scene in football. Like, it is such a world that we don't know anything about. We always just know that, oh, this player transferred to this club, or that player went to that club.
Yeah, we never know the process. All the figure,
but what happens behind that scene?
Exactly.
Trust me, is a whole process. It is a gold mine for storytelling.
I think a show that played with that and we all enjoyed has to be Ted Lasso. Yes.
Okay, no, I haven't seen that, but
what?
I haven't seen that, but what inspired me was Ballers. I don't know if you saw.
Ballers.
That was a show that, but of course, that had to do with American football. You know, the one that they kick with their hand and they call it football.
Football.
So when I watched that show, I liked it for the longest time. But I've always wondered what it would look like to play into the underground. What happens behind the scenes when players are being traded from one club to the other? You know, and a lot of it also is inspired by Mikel Obi's story. Not that that's the story. But of course, you remember when he was transferring from Chelsea
the whole Manchester fight and all the bad that happened.
It was the agents that we were actually looking at, the money that they were going to make from that deal. It wasn't even Mikel Obi. It was a conversation around who was making what money. You know, so Money in the Game is pretty much a story about two very, very big talent or sports management agencies. They are fighting over these under 17 player from Jos, who just came back from the World Cup, and every club in the world wants to sign him. But there is a clause. It is in our own world. The NFA had said, because a lot of players go to Europe and they suffer, if you're below 18, you cannot sign for a foreign club until you're signed to a Nigerian
club first.
Like management company, so that they deal with the foreign clubs on your behalf. It is our own story. I don't know if that is what happens in NFA, but we wrote it that way. So, in order for this boy to get signed to a foreign club, he needs to sign to a local club. You know, he needs to sign to a local talent management agency. So, these two giants set in Nigeria are now fighting for the boy's signature so that they will represent him, because the billions are coming from. But then that is where the whole scandal now happened. Turns out that the shenanigans of how to sign this boy, all the tricks that you can imagine to get him and his family.
Is what will be in play.
What's going to be in play. Pretty much, and then it turns out that there is a huge secret that should have stayed hidden.
Okay, but now that, this whole drama, this secret now will stay hidden because
no, it will stay hidden. You watch a show.
Okay, so now that you are calling it a show, it's not a movie.
No, it's a mini series. It's a five-part mini series.
Nice.
It's not a film. It's a five-part mini series. You know, so we're going straight to the streamers. That's the idea, because we already have a deal. The distribution deal. With Cinemax. Cinemax are the of course, they've always been there. Ope has always been there. He just started Cinemax a year ago.
Okay.
He was one that distributed Brotherhood.
Oh, okay.
He distributed Sister, and he's done a couple of. And he recently just wrapped his own first production called The Party.
I think I've seen something about the party. It has one of Abuja actor Ray Adeka in it. Yes.
So they were the ones that distributed our film called Still Falling. When we wanted to, you know, get a distributing company, it was easy to just call them and say, so that's what we're up to right now.
Okay, so now see how fun this conversation is, yeah? And this is what we talk about regularly, saying if you're a filmmaker, be open to share information.
Yeah.
We've always said this. Nollywood has always been shrouded in, will I call it, secrecy?
I'll tell you why. The biggest problem Nollywood has is non-disclosure agreements.
NDAs, everybody's
Everybody is signing NDAs in Nollywood. And that is the problem. That is why we can't talk about things. I can't tell you figures. I can't tell you what's happening because there are NDAs all over the place.
Because one that I did, they told me not to say anything about it.
Exactly.
I told everybody I'm inside the film, shout. Ramsey Noah was the director and he's acting inside.
And this NDA, sometimes they come in perpetuity. There are things that you can't say about the project for the longest of time in your life. So that's one of the problems that the industry has. That's why a lot of information is hidden, because we always get to sign NDAs.
Wow. Hmm. Okay, so
isn't that kind of detrimental to the system?
Well, I think it's simply because in Nigeria we're so just used to not telling. everybody wants to keep it to themselves. Nobody yes. wants to know how much this stream gave you or streamers gave you for to make this show, or nobody wants to know how much you were paid to do this. So everybody just keeps quiet about it. You know, it is a thing that we found ourselves in. I've signed NDAs that look like a book. I'm telling you, pages are all over the place. Like, it took my lawyer a week to digest the and get back to me and say, what is this thing now? How, you know? So that's the problem. It has become a thing because we're just very secretive in this place. Nobody wants to know what the other person is doing. Simple.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, on the show, you will know a lot of our secrets. That's why we are telling you that if you've watched movies over the weekend, because we give people take home assignment, we'll tell you, go and watch film, come back and gist us, so that it's not the one we are gisting you. You'll not be like, oh, you will not talk about this one. Talk about it to us. The number on WhatsApp is 080-999-301-737. Now, we have the award-winning producer, director, Dimbo Atiyah in the studio. We are asking a lot of questions. And the reason why we are really dancing around the whole Nollywood, Hollywood, streaming, cinemas, we are talking about this discussion because a lot of people do not really have an idea how this works.
Yeah,
and now we just talked about casting now.
Yeah.
I would use your movie, your project as an example.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about the fact that a lot of footballers came who are not actors and you are looking for actors.
Yes.
And you cannot play ball like that. So you for
ball. I mean, that's one of the difficult things that we have in Nigeria, because coming down here,
mm-hmm.
a thought was running through my mind. So I recently saw a Nigerian action movie.
Yes.
Wait, is the black book?
We don't talk.
And you know how it is that you want to see a movie? Because I could feel a lot of John Wick in that movie. You see actors trying to fight.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah.
Well, is it Denola?
And then when you get fighters, they can't act. So it's really hard.
So let me expand. For the longest time, I think that a lot of people do not see acting as a career in this country.
Yes.
It's a problem.
They're
just a few people who have taken this as a career. And these are people who actually came from the theater angle.
Yeah.
A lot of people who jump into this thing just do it because, oh, I probably know a producer. Let me just try my luck. Or they're just jumping into it. So the craft is always lacking.
Yes.
So it's not just sending me fine pictures. I've seen pretty women. I've seen everything that you can imagine. I've seen people solicit me so that they can get... It's the thing that we live in this industry. So one of the things that I do easy is that I pay attention to who is doing what.
Well,
and a lot of times I use my instincts. And Daniel is a very, very good example of... I just met this gentleman one day and I told him, come and audition for something. My instincts were strong. I knew there was something there. And the moment he stepped in, this man has transitioned from just...
Grandma.
You know, I'm being very honest. You're going to see his performance in the new Sons of the Caliphate series.
Yeah, he was in the Rishantis.
It was just one day. I was watching him on set while we were filming the Rishantis. And in my head, I'm like, wait, if I put this dark pencil in this guy's eye and allow him with some... This guy
he can actually be a criminal.
I beg. I want to use this opportunity. So... What is this opportunity to ask Biggie? Can you shave your beards and play DPO for me?
It depends on the mood. Nobody will look at me and ask me whether I can play DPO because I will not shave my beard.
I have to keep my beard for how long?
For the longest time, 6 months. Waiting for him to look, because he looked very clean when we were doing the Rishanti, so he had to keep the beard so he looks rough and everything. But you guys are just definitely going to see that performance, and I like where he talked about the fight thing. You guys are going to see a fight scene where he was involved in that. Trust me. Do you see?
He has been pulling us in the office, but we're not going to say anything.
We're not going to say anything.
You know, but coming back to casting quickly, just so one of the things that, you know, people must understand is that if you're not good at this thing, you can never be good at it unless you put your heart to it.
Mm.
Some people think that it's just because you're pretty or it's just because you know someone. Mm. No. Mm. Acting is deeper than that. It is a craft that you have to every day. Even the ones that sit down every day and call themselves actors. You know, there are some people that I will not cast for free. There are people. God. If you want me to start calling names, I'll call them. There are people I will not cast for free.
Two names.
You said?
But sorry, talking about acting professionally. Mm-hmm. You said something about that. But don't you said we don't have most persons acting professionally.
Yeah.
It's just manual. But don't you think it's playing out? I mean, it's because you know Biggie.
But do you know Biggie's background?
Do you know Biggie's background in acting?
Biggie has
not just physical acting,
because voice acting. Yeah. When you see those persons from the whole they went to school, they did theater as blah blah, you find out that they don't get much roles.
Mm-hmm.
As expected.
I agree with you. And let me tell you why. It's simply because we've come to that place where films have become too commercial, and everybody wants to break out easily. And everybody wants to make money back. So, for example, you take one of those Big Brother people and throw them in the show. And it's because they have followers. Let's be honest. These guys can easily win any award. Put them in any category and they win it. I've lost to Big Brother people before. I know what the last year this year. Bro, I've lost to Big Brother people. So I know what we're talking about. I'm just saying, he might be the least in acting, but because the person has some sort of following,
yes,
producers have decided, you know what, let's be throwing them in this mix. So whether they're horrible or not, at the end of the day, it's their faves that are coming to come and vote for
and
them.
And this is viewers' choice.
At the end of the day, but that's not even we're just talking generally about those who, I mean, check it and see, almost everybody that has left the Big Brother house has been involved in
one
acting or the other. Why? Because the followers are there. Apparently these people have farms. Where they cultivate these votes from. Yeah. So they have a level of followership that you can leverage on. So producers have decided, you know what, cut all these professional things. Just put me fine-looking girls in this thing.
With plenty followers.
We're plunging dresses in the middle.
Neckline.
Put one wig all the way down, lipstick and everything, and later come within, and we're good to go. It is what is happening in the industry now. So a lot of times the people who are really the professionals, those who can actually do the acting, most times don't get these roles. Why? Because...
And even if they get the roles, they don't get the screen time.
Even if they get it. That is why it's one of the things that you give the Black Book kudos for.
Yeah.
I think that's the one reason why you give a kudos. The boy took his time to say, you know what, we're going to cast people who can really do this thing. You know, and I'm sure you guys are going to be talking about the movie and the parts where you see where acting was done, when professionals, Bimbo, what's her name?
Bimbo Manuel,
the lady, what's her name? In the beginning of the movie,
the one that her daughter and husband, that whole
emotion by the window when they were telling her everything, now that exactly. You get to that. No, that is deep.
You need to watch the part where they say between your husband and...
But guys, like we said, okay, so the Black Book is out and we talked about the fact that if you've watched it, you can share your experience. You can rate it over 10.
Mm.
Let's know what you think about it. It just came out on Friday. Now we are talking about something that is later. So far, it's already taking names. Over 60 countries hitting number one on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And that's big for a Nollywood venture.
But you see, the problem that I have with all this rating is simply because it's the only thing that everybody's watching right now.
Mm.
Definitely to make the number one. If this had come out with three others... Let's say you have three other lines, the titles at the same time.
Okay, so her name is Bimbo Akintola.
That first scene where they call her. Now that is the emotions going from the act of it, beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so you get professionals like that. They bring out that whole, you know. So this number one thing, I've always not been, I don't get excited about it because it is the only thing that is showing on Netflix right now that Nigerians and Africans in diaspora are watching. You definitely go to that number one.
I did see the IMDb ratings around 4.6.
Uh-huh. So that when you start going to all those professional places, you understand why.
Yeah, and the example you made saying it's if it had like come out with other big names. Use an example of what happened to you during Drawing Strength. Ah. Like you told us about the November 8th date and they're living in bondage
No, but it's true. You remember that very well.
Yeah, of course I do.
I mean, when you have those big names come out, it just displaces everything. So they're definitely enjoying number one right now because it's the only thing.
Everybody's
and
watching,
I think that the streamers are very wise in the way they showcase.
They find the time
to say, you know what, if we drop this at this time, it will make sense.
Nothing big is happening here
right now. It's not contending. I mean, check it. Let's be honest. Yeah, On the streaming platform, which movie is contending at this point?
There's nothing strong in the cinemas.
You know, so you give it like it's enjoying the number one, you know. But then, honestly, it's not like every other film could have done that. So somehow kudos to them for getting there.
Huh. We're still talking about this acting thing when it comes to having people who are not really based off the craft to really give you what you want.
Mm.
I get annoyed most times, but because I say most actors in Nigeria are not actors. They're just people looking for stardom.
Yeah.
The reason why I'm saying is I've been on set where somebody tells the director, like an actor telling the director, please, you cannot take this to you from here. This is not my good place.
Yeah.
This is like
no, but that is even easy. I've seen actors that came to set and don't know what the story is about.
Oh yes.
So that means
they didn't read the script.
They
didn't read the script. I mean, we're shooting Money in the Game somewhere in November. The actors on that have gotten this script like 3 months ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? And that's what I do as a producer. You get this script early. So if you have any questions, let's start talking about it now.
Before we start.
Before we do a read. Mm-hmm. There are actors that have come on set and absolutely had no idea what the story was about. Because it had no... See, that is the... Once you do that, me and you, is if I can change you there and then... Because, I mean, it is irresponsible that you're an actor. So it brings us to the conversation. Most of these guys are really no actors. They just feel like once they come, sit down. And then a lot of times is when you go to the costume room that you now hear where the problem is.
Yes.
A lot of times I don't get to hear until after production.
I don't want to wear this.
They'll come and tell me, this is not me. It's not looking like me.
Okay, so there's a true life story. And this one, I witnessed it on one of your sets. There was an actor who went to go and dye his hair.
You are a character. You acted some scenes. Yeah. You can't go die hair,
you know? It is what it is. That is irresponsibility. And you'll be surprised. Maybe he went to another set to go and shoot. And it was required that he would dye his hair.
And he forgot that he's in another production.
Does he care? He doesn't care. Like a lot of actors do that. That's the problem. So most of them are jumping sets. And I have people calling me and saying, maybe during production, they're like, okay, wait, too. So this whole, are we going to change this beard? Are we going to do anything? Because I have this shoot that I'm going to do immediately after yours. Meanwhile, what they're trying to tell me is that it's even between when I'm filming, though. So when they have like 2-3 days,
they'll just take off.
You are looking for them, they'll tell you, oh, sorry, I'm in Asaba. I'm just trying to do one sharp, I'll come back now. And it's crazy. So those are the issues that we deal with, because a lot of these people, when you ask them, they'll tell you they have to eat. So it's multiple jobs for them. So, I mean, you meet a professional actor, he dedicates everything to what he's doing at that time. That is a professional actor. Like, his mind, everything is about... That is Damilola Ogunsi for you. You know Damilola Ogunsi?
Yeah, Goldfish.
Oh, my goodness. That is one actor that I love to work with, because Damilola will go... You don't understand. When we shot Drawing Strength, his character... First thing that we're supposed to shoot with Dami is he's high on some drugs, and this lady comes into the house and, you know... Dami came to set. The moment he drove in, as he parked his car, he was already acting the part. When he walked in, nothing was going to derail him. He was really ready for it. When we casted him in Sons of the Caliphate as a police detective, he went to the Nigerian police headquarters for 3 days. And sat down with them to research detective, to understand the SOP of how Nigerian detectives react. That was the first time that I knew that albinos are not... you know how you think that albinos cannot join the Nigerian police? There's no law that says they can't join the Nigerian police.
Oh.
No, there's no law that says they can't join the Nigerian... Just that some people just assume that because they're albinos, they can't join. It was from Dami, because of his research. He found out that there's no law that says you can't join the Nigerian police as an albino. That is a level he immersed himself.
Dedication right there.
Inside this thing. I'm saying this because Daniel is here. He has also done this thing on the last production that we did. Putting himself inside the character that we created, because the challenge is that what he did on the Rishantis was this fine, corporate guy speaking on English, and then on Sons of the Caliphate, he needed to play this
like a criminal,
bad Hausa guy who is a transformation. No, seriously. So when you meet people like that, those are the people who will really give you 10/10. And you're happy that you meet people like that. And so a lot of times when I get to cast, I always focus on people when they're working. How do you approach the actor? Because it's very, very important that they understand who the character is. And that is, of course, you give them the character Bible. When an actor calls you to say, can I have a conversation about this character? Then you're in good hands. Because now the person wants to know. But if this person doesn't bother, like he doesn't even know what's happening until the day of shoot.
Thank you. Okay.
No, that
I need to say something about this. I mentioned it last week. And that's what is happening in Asaba. One guy like that, oh, that Ruth Kadri is currently using. His name is Chike DK Abi one thing. The same hairstyle for like five movies.
See, don't go there. Asaba people don't have time.
I have replaced the same shirt in like two movies. See, Asaba, the same Prado Jeep.
The method in Asaba is completely different. It's those guys don't go by the books. Like, you can be a top actor and enter Asaba today and you're already scheduled for 10 films.
The method is called rinse and repeat.
Yes.
So the thing is this. The Asaba filmmaker is not thinking about the international market.
No, he has a call on the
immediate
impact.
My brothers, yeah. Let's meet them.
Let's
go. Marketers are waiting.
The story is, the average my brother here, his story he wants to see is good guy wins, finish. So let's just follow it like that.
I'm not sure they have a script. I'm sure they have act one.
No, bro, you know what, hold on. This is how it happens. So imagine a Richard Mofey Davido going to Asaba. Uh-huh. Oh, but that the day when he arrived, producers will come meet him. Bros, I be from this day, 4 days alone. If he agrees, that is where his sister, the producer, his sister, and I said, oh, yeah, write story. No. And she will just scribble down the idea. It's not even the script. So when they come and they will just tell you. Oh, man, I've seen an Asaba thing that happened under a tree for 50 minutes.
Yes.
They were under one tree. I've actually
seen one. They never shot any indoor scene.
No.
Improv.
All of them were outside car park. I don't think
they are cashing out because they keep on bringing these movies.
They are
cashing out.
We have a branch in Asaba. I
relocate because the truth is that, I mean, there are 200 million people in this country.
Yeah.
If you're able to just get like a million, just a million, that can follow you and follow what you're doing.
Yeah.
And these guys are each paying one. How much does the DVD go for now, the CD?
150.
Let's say 150.
Mm.
Imagine 500,000 people chunk out 150 to
even
buy
it. Even on YouTube, because Roots.
No, that one is sophisticated.
So we have some messages coming in. Sam Presto here is saying, Moffett Duncan is another good actor.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That I have worked with and that puts his 10 over 10 full time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he plays his role well.
Yeah.
He say, but some few I wouldn't like to meet on set anymore. And she's giving her own professional
absolutely
opinion.
Moffett is a darling.
Yeah, and she continues. She said, the Black Book aced in the cinema. In the cinematography and color grading was awesome. Well, we've had discussions about that color grading thing.
Honestly, too.
And the Black Book seems as if there were two DOPs on that.
Yes,
I agree.
The third act of that movie,
it felt like another
DP handled it. It was completely different from that first two acts. Everything that happened in Lagos, I think it was Yinka Edwards. But anything after
it was somebody else
that handled it. Because
the door open on our okay, good guys in the studio. My name is John Odwin. From Suleja, please, is that Mr. Focus in the studio?
It is I.
Yes, he's the one.
He's not on set today.
He's the one. He's not on set. There was a cut.
We did a 10-episode series on YouTube called Ultimate Rivalry, and we had an actor on set, and the actor gave us problem gold to the point where he was telling us like, "I am the face of your production." If I decide to leave, it will crumble.
Yeah.
I don't know, cancel the lot.
Permit me to say this. I have worked with this man. They know.
Yeah. There is no actor. I am saying it here, and if you're listening, there is no actor in this country or in this world that can hold me to ransom. It's not possible. I am saying it, and they can quote me anywhere. There is no actor that can hold me to ransom. And let me tell you why. It's very simple. You can decide you don't want to do now, pack your things and go. Instantly, I can sit down and reroute the story and I'll get out of it.
Yes.
I will never get stuck because an actor left my set. It's not possible. I mean, it has happened, and I'm not saying it because it has not happened. I've had a problem with a top actor somewhere one time, and the man was threatening to leave. I packed his, booked him a flight, and I told him to get out of my set. And the man was shocked. He thought I was going to come and start begging. No, I don't beg actors, and let's be honest.
Yep.
Not because I'm rude and arrogant, it's simply because that is the last job that you're doing. You're as good as your last job.
It's as simple as that.
Don't bring your celebrity status to my set. No, you know why? Because we've all been employed to do some work. You have signed a contract. Mm-hmm. If you're not up to the work, then just leave. It's as simple as that. And let me tell you, I'm not going to drag any legal thing with you because I know it will take us forever. So we'll settle it there and then. You're not doing. It is fine. I've had actors who, on the day I was entering a writer's room, to continue a series. They refused to commit to the thing. And as far as they were concerned, this thing was doomed. Because if I'm not in this project, nothing will happen.
Yep.
I walk into the writer's room. I gave them 7 o'clock. I said, by 7 o'clock in the morning, I need to get your feedback. Are you coming back or not? The person ignored me. I was thinking, oh, I'm going to start begging. I walk into the writer's room, sitting down with top executives of this company. And I said to them, I said, we're dropping X, X, and X. And they say, why? I said, oh, I've made an offer and the person refused to come back. And I'm moving forward. And they looked at me and said, well, is that your decision? I said, yes, fine. Do you know who an executive producer is? I'm an executive producer. Do you know what that means in the industry? No, man, calm down. No, it's not a beans to be an executive producer. So I can't chase you for anything. Same Sons of the Caliphate. We have one of the top actors of Sons of the Caliphate that made demands in coming back for the third season. Major demand, said, no, this is... I just looked at him and I said, look, bro, we're not going this route. Is it that you're doing this or not? She said, I'm not doing it. I called Mo Abudi and I said to her, we're dropping this person. She said, ah, Dimbo, fans. I said, no, don't worry, we'll be fine.
The fans will fund it. She said,
are you sure? I said, yes. And I sent him a letter and I said, sorry, sir, we're not going ahead with this project. And as simple as that, the day we dropped, the following day I was in Lagos and I sat down with the head of production and in one sitting, we routed the story. This is 13 episodes were already written. And the person thought we couldn't do it. In one sitting, we sat down with the head of production and we changed the story. See, it's simple.
Sir, we are about to change the story of this discussion now. Just browse and enter inside market. Small. Mm-hmm. Small. But guys, you have to keep your dial locked because there's still a lot to be discussed. Don't forget, we have the award-winning director and executive producer, Dibu Atiya, in the building. We are still talking movies, guys. Let's go.
I'm back.
Yes, sir, you're still with us, talking movies right here. The man with no name is yet, Daniel the Big One. We'd not introduce you, but...
They've been tooting Daniel's horn since. They've been blowing it up and down with Vuzela. And we have the side chick.
God side for us, too.
Amen.
She's going to get major chick roles, too.
Amen.
At least Ogadimbo is here, so... where's my CV?
Okay, we're still talking movies with the multi-award-winning Dimbo Atiya. And... he's working on Money in the Game, and we've been talking actors, talking casting, and just talking about the entire scene. And right now, we'd like to know, like, your choice. Like, why did you cast people like Mahuli, like Efe? Like, what did you see? Like, just let us know your process on why
on the casting.
The first thing is because of their craft. Like all of these actors, I have monitored them for the longest time, and I know what they're able to do. And it's pretty much a football story where Maoli is pretty much the lead and he's this guy who plays in the EPL and he's back home. So the story, it pretty much happens when he's back home for the holiday and everything else centers around him and his best friend who is FIWR. You know, and so first of all, it's pretty much, these guys are all good actors. Let's give it to them. I've studied them for the longest time.
I can say that because I've worked with Maoli in 2019.
Yeah.
And I must say...
for the longest time, I've studied them.
Guys,
all of them have. But then the second thing is also eye candies. Like, there is something about...
Maoli Bouchette. Everybody just start shouting.
There's something about five people
We're watching Sugar Rush in the cinema in 2019. And then there was that scene where he took off his shirt. If you see the way the girls were just
shouting.
Absolutely. You know what? They were just shouting.
I mean, that's the thing. You can't say...
When you have
players like Joseph Yobo, all these fine guys that played football, you want to replicate that in your story by bringing somebody who, the moment he pulls the shirt, all the guys are dropping it. And the truth is that you're already getting their attention.
What is really painful about this discussion is that my gym instructor now, we see, no be your mate. But
truly, secondly, is the eye candy. You're trying to create a fantasy world and you have to put people, let's be honest.
That would make others fantasize.
And then, of course, their level of popularity. These are very, very popular people. For example, somebody like Chisom, who has been on the show that was doing between 3 to 4 million viewers a day.
I'm sorry,
it was a daily show.
I need to say something about Chisom. So I've not worked with her before. Wait now. So I've been hearing stuff about her, and I was like, now someone I go just the high person. So we now had her in an episode of Yawaskit that we did, and God.
That leverage. God. So when you're talking about numbers,
she's not just good. You get.
She's fine.
She's fine.
Even
but
that one
she's
follow.
A beautiful human being. Like, God, how do you work with somebody like yes, yeah. She's just so simple.
Okay, she don't get wahala for
she bottom had line. One single one bottom and she line, was good. You know. From A to Z.
So
like,
those are the factors that come into determining who are who, because it's a commercial story. It's a commercial story. You want to sell with the numbers, you know, and somebody like Enado Edige, which is such an amazing actor. And then we're introducing young people into it. Arik Malungu is such a young, vibrant young guy. You need to see him on TikTok, you know, but I've known him from the day he was giving birth to, and I know his father is a very, very good friend. But other than that, Arik is just such a talented guy. In my head, I'm thinking he will play very well, you know, in coming. So it is, I mean, and of course, you guys know that Gentle Jack is making a comeback, you know, on the show. So it is a potpourri of the old, the ones who are there now, and those who are coming up, you know. So there's always all of those elements in casting. You have to look at, first of all, for the craft, which is pretty much very important. These are people who have read the story, they have asked questions about their characters. And Enado Edige is somebody you want to work with. As in, you don't understand. 2 a.m., this woman will call me, Dimbo, I just one question. I was reading this scene, and I'm trying to imagine if she was da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, auntie, are you not sleeping? She said, no, I have to digest this thing before. Those are the kind of things that I love, you know? So you have all of those things put together, and you have a fantastic cast, and bottom line is that they all know each other. The chemistry is even natural. I didn't even know that Effa and Maoli were very good friends. I had no idea until I met both of them for a meeting in Lagos, and that was when it dawned on me that these guys are actually very good friends. And so the chemistry off and on screen is definitely very natural. And so you expect that will flow, and you not have those. So those are the elements you look out for, and those are the things that we looked out for. A very vibrant, young-looking cast, good-looking, that I must emphasize that, but very good actors at the same time, so that there's enjoyment in the thing.
When you say good looking, can't look me, I'm not that.
So besides the younger casting challenges that you've had to deal with, what else has been challenging coming up with this project, putting it together, and waiting for principal photography,
especially
to start
with the economy?
Especially in the economy right now.
At this level, funding for any kind of project is madness. I was reading where they said the Black Book was a $1 million production. Mm. And this was 2 years ago. So if you do the conversion 2 years ago, it would be about $650 million.
Yeah.
If anything, it is the one thing that I raised my hand for this guy to be able to raise $650 million to make this film. Because in my head, I'm thinking, where is the money? So I've always been protected. I've always been in the comfort zone where most of the productions I've done were commissioned jobs, where people will take their money and give you to go and produce. So it comes easy. So you're carrying your shoulder up, I'm a producer. Meanwhile, somebody's money that has come easy. It's almost like Pep Guardiola and Manchester City. He just has the money to buy all the best players and he thinks he's a good coach. Anyway, it's a story for another day.
He's a good coach. Oh.
But let's go somewhere. It's a story for another day. I don't focus on people. Anyway, hold on. Bottom line is that now that I'm venturing into my own personal production, it is the idea of convincing people to put money on the table for a production like this that is even the biggest problem. It's not even anything else. It's the funding that has become. So for anything, every day I wake up, the only hill that I'm trying to climb and surmount right now is funding, proper funding for the project. You know, it is a beast right now. Why? Because like you guys rightly said, the economy is not smiling at anybody. It's going through what it's going through right now. And so people are being very protective of the little that they have. And so if you're coming with any risky venture right now, they're looking at you like, oh boy, calm down first. I'd rather have this thing sitting down in one, vault. Account. And then it's getting me the zero for something in a year. That risk carrying this money I'm giving you to go and make a film. You know, you're showing them the numbers, of course.
But the math is not matching
in their head. And you know, the problem with filmmaking is that it's not instant reward that you're getting.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it takes about, every time I go to pitch and I'm looking for fun, the idea is that the place where the conversation ends is when I say it's going to take about 18 months for your money to come back. That is where the conversation ends. Because the man wants to hear, oh, in 2-3 months, you're getting your money. That's not possible. It's going to take me 2-3-4 months to get this product done.
Because it
will probably take another 3-4 months for the conversation with any of the streaming platforms to buy the product. And then most of them do the payment in installments. So you don't get your cash in bulk. I hope that you guys know that. Mm-hmm. So if you have a deal with the streaming platform, they spread your payment across 4 payments. Sometimes they spread it across 2 years. Depending,
wow.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You don't just get it. So is if you have a good deal with any of the streamers, it is 1 year. 4 payments in 1 year. And if you don't have a good deal, you're doing 2 years. There are people who have given for 3 years. Yeah, so you don't get your money in bulk. Like, say, oh, you... yeah, so, for example, they say they get your deal for like $150,000. You think that was just enter account, but no, it doesn't work that way. It takes installments. So you factor that in and you say, if I'm going to say 1 year, it will take a year for that whole money to come out. Plus, so if you take 1 year, you take the 6 months that you have to do the production and sell it, it's about almost 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to tie down his investment for 2 years? Because that is the problem. Those are the issues that we're dealing with. So unless you find people who understand patience, long-suffering with money, and they see that you're able to, with the numbers, they see that. I went to a bank, one of the banks, you know, to talk about funding for the project. And they looked at me and they said to me, bro, we don't lie to you. We've checked your CV. You're one of the best in this country. We can attest to that. Your AMVCA is even a... It's not that you can't do this project. But you see this thing, it's not as easy as it comes. No. It will cost you an arm and a leg for us to even begin to have a conversation about giving you this money. The requirements are on an astronomical level. That is the problem that a lot of filmmakers are facing. And that is why people just feel comfortable in taking the small that they have to go and shoot a 4-day production and put it up on YouTube, or a 5-day production and try. How many people are going to the cinemas these days? Let's be honest.
Yeah, because I want to talk about cinema culture.
I mean, nobody has the funding to go into the cinemas these days.
Remember when we were watching movies for 700 and now it's 7,000 naira.
Exactly. So, like, I mean, who wants to leave his house and go to go out when all I have to do is just wait for the streamers and then we'll get to see it. So the cinema culture is gradually dying because the funding is not there. You're making a film, how much you go to cinema and make how much? Go and check the statistics of all the films that have been in the cinema, how much they've made. None of them has broken even. None. I dare you to call one film in the last 1 year that went to the cinema and broke even. None.
Wow.
Forget the numbers that you're seeing, though, because at the end of the day, they probably just get 10% of that amount, because I know that for a fact. I did still fall in with 32 million, and what came to me was a joke, was a laugh, you know, because the distributors, the cinema houses all get their share in this matter. We're not even talking taxes. We're not taking the distributor himself that has his own 20% that comes to him. At the end of the day, you go home with peanuts. So filmmaking and whatever it is that you're doing right now in this country is probably one of the hardest things that you can do, but people are still doing it. I mean, we will not stop because the only thing that we know how to do.
The only thing we know, because what I wanted to ask again, there's this conversation about Lagos versus Abuja.
Yeah.
And you for the longest have been shooting a lot of your productions in Abuja. And there's this thing that people say about pride in Abuja.
Mm.
People don't like giving out locations. They don't like partnering. How has that experience been?
So you see, the thing about Abuja...
He shared a version of this story 3 years ago, too. Now talking about how the day they wanted to do a shoot, and the person just said, Omo, I know...
Running to the set, the woman called us and said that she's not doing it again. One of the biggest problems that you have in Abuja is that Abuja is secretive. People don't want you to know their business. Why? Because it is a government-infested area. So most of the people who own some of the big houses that you see in this place are government officials. And a lot of times they don't want you to come and find out what they are doing. So a director in one ministry has one mansion somewhere and you're wondering, how did he even get this type of asset? Because the fear is that you will come and you're talking tomorrow, they will hear you and they say, do you get what I'm saying? It's the problem that we have.
A good example was one day we were on shoot and then the owner comes and says,
get out. Exactly. We were filming the other day, one guest house somewhere.
Get out.
The man walked in and we paid. We went there for free. We were busy filming. This guy drove in with some expensive cars and just started shouting, we need to get, we need to go. This place has... I had to walk into the room and I spoke with him and I said, okay, so first of all, we understand that maybe your people did not communicate this to you. But we had a conversation with them. We paid for this place. And I don't want to say, I'm going to shout now because I paid for this place. I can understand that you were not informed, but this is it. If I live here, this is what's going to cost me. So now that we're here and we're going to do this, and the best we can guarantee you is the control area. We'll be silent. We'll find a way to do this in a way that doesn't disrupt your whatever. It was a conversation that I had with him. As a matter of fact, there's a big hotel here. I won't call the name of the people. When we went there to shoot, the owner of the hotel came and walked in so that we had transformed the entire lobby into a living space. And the person didn't believe it. He now called his daughter and said, come on, come and find out what's happening here. The girl came and saw we had transformed, and she started screaming, no, you have to leave this place. What that? Apparently, the people who hired the place did not inform her that. So what they thought was that they had hired the place for some small production, because when we came, they charged us and we paid. And then when we moved in, they saw trucks coming. our sponsors, the ones that gave us furniture were good trucks, they were bringing in. The last time they wondering, wait though, this charges that we charge you people. And so she got pissed, she got upset. I said, no, you know, she wanted us to leave. I just walked up to her. And the first thing I said to her, I said, your perfume is nice. You have to be diplomatic sometimes.
You smell nice, caused problem before.
That broke the ice. It broke the ice and the conversation went smoothly and we're allowed to go. So, location-wise, it has always been a difficult thing, to be honest, in Abuja. Why? Because in Lagos, people are opening their houses. I went to do location rec in Lagos. I planned to do 1 week. In 3 days, I was done. Because when you go to the... You don't understand. Mansions are begging you to come. They want your money. As a matter of fact, we have one location in Lagos that is going to cost us almost 5M to shoot there for 5 days.
Wow.
Yes. The woman is willing to pack her children and go and stay in a hotel for the 4 days. Last night, it will cost her maybe $1 million. Full access. So in 4 days, she will have made $5 million. No, it's
my mama travel. Our house is
business.
You get an issue when you go to the house where they look.
I'm just saying that the truth is that producers will pay premium money if you're going to allow. For the longest time, I've been to that World Trade Center to shoot in that place, and they just don't want to hear the story. There is nothing I've not offered. I have offered, as a matter of fact, I made an advert. I said, anybody that will get these people to allow me, I'm going to give the person $2 million. Never happened.
I'm sure they said there's nothing in launching the place. That's why.
That's the problem. It is difficult to get locations. So anytime we do locations in Abuja and you see it come out fine, please just thumbs up for the person because it's not the easiest thing. And sometimes it is angle. You can go to a place where it's just one side of the house that works, and then you just put the camera and shoot the angle. And so people will just imagine, oh, well, this thing looks real. I mean, that happened in Sons of the Car. You guys are going to see it.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many places that we had to squeeze in and just find a good angle in the story and tell. Because Abuja people no send you. They don't want your money. They don't even want you to know what's happening.
I also have to point out that period where we were approached by the military.
Yeah.
And they were asking us, who are you? What are you doing?
Exactly.
Like, we literally had to now show everything before they now helped out in keeping us secure.
Absolutely.
Inside bush.
You know, it's not the easiest thing to do.
I've experienced that on Yawa set when we went to go and shoot in an uncompleted building.
Uncompleted building.
And they came to chase us from
there. They'll give you problems.
The man waited till we pack out.
Yes. But you know, the other thing also is, and I must state it, is that we filmmakers sometimes are not really very nice. When we go to people's places, we trash the place up, and then their experience is always very horrible.
Yeah.
I went to a place in Lagos recently, just last week, that I went to Lagos to sort out a location. I saw it online, and then I went to Lagos to go check it out. And when I got there, the first thing that they asked me, are you from so-and-so person? I said, no, I'm from Abuja. They said, oh, okay, because they were here. And they shot something here and they trashed the place. Your guy was upset and da-da-da-da. So I'm not telling, I was not busy trying to say, you know, we were professionals, we were blah, blah. I was speaking English. When I left, I sent him my application. They just replied to me and I said, no, they're not opening up the place for filmmaking anymore. I'm like, so I've lost out on an opportunity because
somebody
went
there.
I've been to one of your top producers, one of those comedians that makes all those Abuja films, had gone somewhere and messed up a place. When we went there, there was nothing that we didn't offer. The owner said, nope, because... you guys came here and messed up the place. I've been on a set where they gave me a house. One Hajia gave us her beautiful house to shoot. We were shooting. I have a cousin. The boy is... he's a relative. You have to keep him in check.
Mm-hmm.
This boy, we had finished everything in peace. Well, let's start carrying things out. He carried one cistern, 1 meter, and he was not turning anyhow. And he broke a vase that was $3,000. When we had finished and we're leaving. Broke a vase that was $3,000. The woman just looked at us, what can she do? Or I just pack your things and go.
Oh, you are.
I promise you, when we came back to do, we now found out that we needed to do a reshoot of some of the scenes.
In that house.
How? Where are you going to start the conversation?
This one.
No, you don't.
Me.
No, that didn't pain me. It paid me.
Judith Sampresto is saying that Ogadim will get that $2 million ready, and I will get that place for you.
Nice.
Anyways, and she continues here and says, Blue and Biggie, sorry, your Jim is calling you guys so that you will serve. Bimbo will call you I can't.
Because right now we're I am Balu Moa.
Okay, so guys, like we always promise in every show, we let you know what's happening in the box office, and we're going to give you the rundown of the movies that are making money in the box office.
Okay, starting off at number 10, last week's number 9, we had the Christopher Nolan movie called Oppenheimer. It made $1.6 million this weekend, and so far it has a gross to date of over $900 million.
Okay, so Blue Beetle was last week's number 6. Right now it's number 9. I've actually seen it too. Have you checked it out? Go see it. Anyway, with a total gross of $69 million plus.
And in at number 8, last week's number 19.
Wow. That's a big climb.
Is the Paul Dano movie called Dumb Money. It made $2.5 million this weekend and is made by Sony Pictures.
That's because money is involved. Anyway, Sean, making his entry into the box office at number 7 is It Lives Inside. I believe this is horror, yeah?
From
the name, it's horror. All right, I just finished watching Insidious, The Red Door, finally. Anyway, this one, that's It Lives Inside, has a gross to date of $2 million plus.
And in at number 6, last week, number 4, we have My Big Fat Greek Wedding 3.
Right.
And it made $3 million this weekend. Right. As in, it's a white thing.
Well, Barbie maintains his number 5 spot, in at number 5 still, with a total gross of $630 million plus.
Denzel Washington returns as Robert McCall in The Equalizer 3, and it's at number 4, last week's number 3, and it made $4.7 million this weekend and has a gross to date so far of $81.2 million.
From number 2 down to number 3, that is The Haunting in Venice with a total gross of $25 million plus Walt Disney Studios and Motion Pictures.
Mm-hmm. Making its entry in the box office, Expendables 4. Stallone and the crew are back for a fourth installment, and this one made $8.3 million this weekend just alone.
Okay, guys. Well, this one is horror, Shao.
Not just because it's horror. It's because The Nun is a very...
It's a very what?
Nun movie.
It's none of your business.
Which
one is it?
Of The Nun one?
Both The Nun one
but
and
The Nun one had some very...
He had one. You see that moment where the sister was walking by the corridor
don't
and
worry.
Then that is just past her. That
don't
was
worry.
The only...
Don't
so
worry.
Are you trying it to tell me that the jump scare of the hanging happened?
You know they call tropes. You know what a trope is?
Yes.
That's horror tropes. Yes.
Not just any movie trope. This movie had every horror trope. Very well misplaced. As in, it wasn't scary. I've watched The Nun 1, not The Nun 2.
And The Nun 1
because
was...
Because of The Nun 1, I'm not even bothering myself about The Nun 2.
I will watch it. So I don't know whether it's because of old age, but if I say now, all these things now don't they make me the fear. Like, I watched The Red Door, like Insidious, and I can't the fear. I couldn't finish it in one sitting, no.
Yeah.
Let's take this call. Hello.
Really? You are... Scared
That's why I want to watch Talk to Me. Yeah, that's
Talk to Me is pretty good. Yeah,
from Talk to
Me,
and I was like,
simple.
Remind me, Talk to Me.
Talk to Me is made by these two YouTube guys under A24 Studio A24. Okay. It's about this hand where when you say talk to me and then say let me in, you connect with the dead. Hello.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Everything Nice from Airport Road.
Talk to us.
I just want to ask that executive producer we did there because of this or something when you talk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Talk about maybe like a particular actor jumping, say, maybe go ask for this one, the ending, he go jump with the next, then he go forget, say,
he forgot to load his phone. Network pressing. Please call us back. Hello.
Hello, guys.
Hello, good evening.
Check it out. The last voyage of the Demeter.
Oh, the last voyage of the Demeter. Stop calling it Demeter.
Now, check it out.
We've seen it.
We've seen it.
So you said we should check it out. The last voice of the Demeter.
Demeter.
Is Demeter, please. Allow my young man to jump out. Good evening, guys. My name is Imi from Apple. Please, can the executive producer drop his handle on social media? Can I do to become a good actor? Well, his name is Dimbo Atiya. You can check him out on Twitter, Hey Dimbo. And you can also check him out as Dimboba.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's on Instagram.
On Instagram, yeah.
It's very
Check follow Popcorn and Reels. You'll see his handles. We posted that while we posted his entrance.
Talking about horror movies, I'm imagining a Nigerian horror movie? What do you really look like? Because I don't see the average Nigerian movie
you know,
making a horror movie without wanting to involve some religious undertone.
Yes. Not even just that. There was this movie, I think it was Sophia Olakija was in it. It's called Manifestation or so. Mm. And it had to play, I think, is it that, I hope I'm not confusing it with something else, where it had to play with that Madame Kois Kois something like from school days.
From back in the day. Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, yeah.
Okay, so not just that. Also, what's the name of this thing? Science fiction. I've seen only one or two attempts at sci-fi, and the first one that I remember was way back in the day, like 2000. And the only way, the idea was that the way you could take out the aliens was using water.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of it, but I've not
seen it. It's a Nigerian production.
Yeah, Nigerian production.
Okay, so I can remember this Nigerian movie about some students traveling in a bus and...
Just a night.
That was a very good horror film.
Maybe on that bus we were young. Hello, please, turn at the volume of the radio.
Good evening, Nigeria Info.
Good evening. What's your name?
My name is Prince Eze. I'm calling from Utetu, Abuja.
Okay, right, Prince, we're talking movies. Talk to us.
Yeah, I want to appreciate you guys for bringing this show to Abuja. You know, Lagos has been the celebrity movie producers over the years. Mm. So we, Abuja, are beginning to get your feel.
Okay.
And it's a good thing.
Okay, thank you very much.
I want to appeal to the executive producer to kindly make his handle available on Nigeria Info Facebook, so we can pick it from there.
Okay.
All right.
I have a script. I've been begging one of my Christian brothers to help me go through, but he's not willing. So I also want to use this opportunity to appeal to him. I'll contact him on Twitter so that if he will be willing to also look at the script and see how he can help me take it to the next level.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much, Prince. Okay, we have a message here from Ben saying, hello, guys. Please, I would like to ask the guest a question. What is the average for shooting a movie in Nigeria? We'd love to connect with your guests. Want to shoot a movie someday? This question, guys, like, what's the average?
To be honest, there's no average. It depends on how much value you want to put into the production. Exactly. It's as simple as it is. It's almost like how much you want to eat. It's what you're feeling at that moment. I don't want to eat much, or I want to eat plenty. Oh, I don't want to eat this, I want to eat that. It's really about what you want to do. So if I tell you average, I'll just be lying to you, because it takes everything, you know, to get a production right. So I'll just tell you the best that you can do is just put quality into your work. And quality is expensive.
Yep.
So that's all I need to do. That's the honest truth. The honest truth is that if you want the best actors, you pay for the best actors.
You just mentioned a couple of minutes ago that the Black Book cost as much as $1 million.
Yeah.
2 years ago.
Oh, wow. But I don't think it's $1 million film. So that's what I'm saying.
Okay. So talking about quality, the 2023 AMA nominations were listed, and we're just going to talk quickly about some of the movies that were nominated. Let's say Gangs of Lagos had 5 nominations, including Best
Only?
Actress. Just 5, yeah. Oh, yeah. Including Best Actress in a Lead Role, Best Promising Actor, Best Visual Effect, Best Nigerian Film, and Best Makeup. The Trade had 3. Anikolapo had 9. Has 9 nominations.
Yeah,
yes.
9 nominations.
And a lot of people have been saying Kule Remi was snubbed for Best Actor because he wasn't nominated for Best Actor.
In this one again. Because he lost out on AMVCS, yeah, exactly. And then he's having issues. So there's something wrong.
Who did he not?
No,
he offended somebody.
He offended somebody somewhere.
That's exactly what people on Twitter have been saying. That again, like, what's happening? Like,
no, but the industry cannot blacklist him. So what's the problem? Because
if the industry can blacklist him, yeah, one of the ways actors can up their profile is by having these awards or accolades, even just by mere nominations
exactly.
being attached to their names.
No, I mean, winning that thing has a way of, I don't get it twisted, winning a major award like the AMVC or the AMA is a big deal. Mm. I know what that does for our credibility. Anytime we talk about, you know, where this and that. The best part of it is when you say to people, oh, I'm an AMVCA winner. And they look at it, okay.
And even if you work on a project, even if you are not the actor that wins, you can say, this project this part was nominated one, X, and won.
I can give it to Kule Remi. That Anipolapo, he brought his heart out for that.
Yeah.
He was really...
The character was talked about.
Even though, as far as I'm concerned, if the best actor category, the AMVCA, was left to technicality, like professional.
He would take that very easily.
Well, I don't think so. I mean, what's his name would have taken it easy. Chidimokemi. That would have
been
for Shantytown. Easy would have taken it, but the Big Brother people did their best again. So that's my opinion, though. You know, don't get me wrong.
Well, but talking
Toby
about
Bakary is a fantastic actor. We had approached him also for this project. You know, but then in terms of, you know, so you're wondering what did Kule Remi do that for the second time the Amazi was bumped again, then somebody is calling the shot somewhere.
Or his village people are working overtime.
Those are the somewhere. Okay, please, when you are sending your message, please try to put your name. Good evening, Popcorn. Is Popcorn and Reels? R-E-E-L-S, not Rose.
Popcorn and Rose, no.
Please, I'm eager to cool my mind with your educative information you people dish out. Please watch your social media handle.
At Popcorn and Reels. That is PopCornReels. One word.
And
Popcorn and Reels.
Together.
One word. You'll find us everywhere.
Please, don't type one word after you have written.
Yes. Because you know they have enough. But talking about awards, it's crazy that you can't find a lot of Nigerian actors on IMDb.
I have to say this. You just said it now. Permit me to jump in right now. Our friend Ayola, I literally saw him on the set of The Chosen.
Mm-hmm.
The Chosen
is a TV series.
It's a TV series that has over 500 million views presently on its app. So that is something that can raise, you know, the rep of, even though I'm very sure Nawaka passed and give him understand.
But to be honest with you, how many producers rate actors because of, you know, in Nigeria now, who you know now?
Yeah, but so now who you know, but having that, because
no, of course. I mean, I have checked it and I found out that Still Falling did the 8.something on IMDb. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a rating that for me, man. I'm like, okay, that's a good. Even though it dropped, but then I mean, when it started, it was around that. I think it was 8 or something.
Yeah, talking about that, yeah, you are also guilty of this thing I'm accusing everybody of.
Which one?
Because on IMDb, we can only see Still Falling and
drawing strength.
Yeah.
So, like, is it that
those are my personal productions?
All the other productions
I've done were commissioned jobs. It ends from when I finish and I hand it to the owner.
Oh.
I don't have any rights over them. And so it's just like they come and they say, well, I take money, produce for us. And once I'm done, I work.
Okay, you know? because
Still
recently,
Falling and drawing strength were pretty much.
So recently I had a talk with Emil Garba. Ishaya Bako, was like just a talk.
Yeah.
And we're having this discussion about how actors and creatives can upload their profiles and get heard and get seen.
Mm-hmm.
I did a short film like about 2-3 years back. And it won like 2 international awards.
Mm-hmm.
Someone just searched my name and it popped out. I didn't even know. Yeah. So absolutely. I reached out to the producer and said, how did you do this? She said, she just logged it in with my full name and everything came out. So now, if I do any movie and I will tell everyone, I better go, if you put up for...
But you know the problem is that a lot of, like we said from the beginning, most of the people who do this thing are not really actors. These are not people who are ambitious and they don't want to go beyond what they're just doing here. So a lot of them do not see the importance of having to have that kind of profile there. Because when producers are scouting for, say, natural black-looking actors, they definitely go to places like that to look for. Of course, they have international casting agents that do that. But then your presence can also mean something. You know, but you see, most of them really don't care. The idea is that we're just here, we're showing face, the world is seeing, or the people who see us will see us. At least we know that some of them are turning into market. You know, so this is, we're selling goods here. If you see us, you see us. It's simple. You know where to meet us. You know that sort of thing. Mm. So when you start talking about IMDb and all those things, they're looking at you like, actually, bet you 2 out of every 5 actors don't even know what that is.
Mm. Wow.
I can bet you if you do a research, 2 out of every so-called actor in Nollywood, they don't know what that is.
Hmm. Well, that's a problem because we've had assassination attempts at our life. Yes, because of this talking about movies and
It's a problem in this country. We don't take it easy. People always take it personal. And that is why a lot of times people want my opinion about this film, like that one that came out, and that me. I won't say Pim. On my own, I can't just come out and say anything because it will become a problem.
And even when something is said about your movie, you I don't know how to put it. There's a way you try to see from the person's perspective, because I remember when we did a review for Drawing Strength, and after we showered the praises we wanted to shower on the movie because of how good it was, we had one or two stuff about talking about Sophia Alakija's character having a particular thing, and there was a comment on it saying, yes, I think it was your comment talking seeing it from that angle also, like, oh yeah, it would have been like this, would have been like this, but this is how we went about it. Mm-hmm. Straight and simple. Another person would be like, can you make film?
Can you make film? Which one?
There's one director
right now that is hounding us. Yeah. He's our best friend right now.
Should
we greet him?
No, we can mount it for that to see.
Honestly, I think that producers and directors they have to develop a sense of accepting the fact that it's not everybody that
everybody
like
cannot like
doing.
Your film. Yeah, exactly.
You know, the truth is that we make a lot of mistakes in our productions in Nigeria, and so it's okay when people say, "Oh, we saw this and we didn't like this." I saw some people making comments about the Black Book, and somebody was coming for them. I was like, "No, it's true."
Well, there was a comment.
No, wait. There was something Dimo did one time where, you know how when people see mistakes, right, or they see tiny error or something, and they'll just keep quiet. You get it's the audience now that I see something. Dimbo is the one that by himself.
Yes.
There was one time he posted something. I see the boom, me and Siam. Before you contact me, say we make I wish and Siam.
But remember the green trouser and the black trouser.
Like Dimbo said, develop a thick skin. So here is the thing, This movie show that we do on Nigeria Info is actually supposed to be for an hour, which is 8 to 9. But because of how interesting this conversation has been, we have been stretching, and it's about 9:30 right now. We still have loads of messages, like this one that is coming in from Sukri from Karori. He says, why is Asaba movie? Why is it that they never get nominated? I know most of them are below average and annoying, but ain't that also in Nollywood industry?
It has to be a Razzies award.
Well,
no, please.
In other news, I also have an up-and-coming actor. Your guest should kindly drop Handu. Let us know how to get to see him. Thanks, please. Abuja Biz. Well, he's on all social media platforms, like we said. We called out his handle, and if you are following Popcorn and Reels, his handle is there on our profile on the post where we introduce that.
If you allow me, let me quickly advise. My DM is a mess, because the kind of people that come into the DM to just say, I am an actor, if you put me in your production, you're not going to regret it. Or I think that I can change your life if you make me an actor in your production. You don't understand. While I commend the level of
dexterity,
the courage you have, I think that it is a mistake when you just come into my DM and you tell me you are the best in the world and I should pick you. No, sir. Please, if you are listening to me out there, the best way to get the attention of any producer or any director in this thing is find an Instagram handle, do your monologues, and tag these people.
Just in case you are wondering what a monologue is, then you are in for a problem.
You are not even supposed to
do this discussion.
Do a one-man performance and put it on your Instagram. Some of you go to this Instagram and spend the whole day doing nothing. Please, if you know you are that good, all you have to do is find out who are the producers and directors that are making waves in this country right now.
Mm-hmm.
And all you have to do, I promise you, there's a young lady, I didn't even know her from anywhere. She's going to be in Money in the Game. All she did was tag me on one of her productions. Every day she would do production, like a monologue, and put it up. And when I saw her one day, I was like, man, this person is intense. And if only I can find somewhere to put her. And when Money in the Game came up, the first thing that came to my mind was, oh, I remember her. And I just went to her, whatever, and I told her, I said, I think I have a role for you. I'll send you a script. Da-da-da-da-da-da. And that's how it happened. So if you're listening, don't come to my DM or any of that, because sometimes we don't have the time. When I see DMs like, hello, sir. The first thing I know it's a problem. I know you want to act and you are the best in the world and I've not discovered you yet. I get that. But please, the only way I can see is get my handle, do your... If you can face the world on your own page alone and show me what you're able to do, you'll be surprised what can happen. So don't say you are the best and then I can't. You don't have anything to show me and you say, sir, just trust me. How?
Just try me
this
first.
Nigeria, trust is a commodity.
Excuse me, sir. If you try me, you're not a guest.
Exactly. It has always been like that. Try me. Somebody said to me that it's going to change my life.
Wow.
Yes, there's a young man that sent me a message and said, if you put me in your production, it will change your life. Well, it's very possible, though, that it can change my life, but I'm not willing to take that risk yet because I don't know what you're able to do. It might change my life for the better. It might change it for the worse. So I'm not sure I want to risk
then
that.
Then we shall be
so
change.
Please, if you're out there and you're young and you're looking for an opportunity to break, every producer in this country, every director in this country is on social media. All you have to do is find out which one is their authentic line, do a monologue, and tagging is easy. Do you pay money to tag anybody?
No.
No, it's free. So just put it up there, do the best that you can, do it every day. You know what it's called top of the mind in this industry? That's how it works.
Consistency.
Consistency. I will remember you. If you are not visible, how can I remember you or how can I take you? So that's my advice to everybody out there that is trying to break into the industry, because they're always trying to break into the industry.
Wow. Right now, we're about to break out of the studio, but I just want to drop our handles again at Popcorn and Reels on all social media platforms. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Like we said, we are very active now on Twitter. We'll be spreading that activity on Facebook and on Instagram. So guys, hit us up, follow the show. Don't forget, we're posting snippets of this conversation also on YouTube. So try and catch up on that. Send us your DM, send us your messages. Don't worry, your messages will change our life and will change yours. Yeah.
So before we go, I want to say, just a blooper for you who happens to be an anime fan.
Okay, shall
we
drop it?
In the live action adaptation of One Piece.
Okay.
There's a part where Roronoa Zoro is fighting somebody, he's flipping over and his white sword
bends.
Yes.
I saw the clip of that.
It just goes to show that everybody makes mistakes.
Yeah. So he was flipping over and the white sword, because he fights with three swords. Yeah. So the white sword that he had on his waist now bent.
You know how you bend paper?
I watched a clip of a Chinese dude who spotted it and fixed it with After Effects. And I was like, man, this is mad. But guys, yeah, this week I said I was not going to talk about anime because when I know they go, they watch all this one where they talk. My babe don't go almost finish Black Clover. It shocked me.
I've started.
Anyway, guys, so this brings us to the end of the show. We want to say a very, very big thank you to Dimbo. That anytime the funny thing is that when we send Dimbo a message, yeah, he's always almost like last minute. And he's like, oh my, I don't wait for Onassis.
Like, this is a lovely place to be.
Last week, Sunday, I reached out to Dimbo on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And he was like, how about now, Bluetooth now? If to say you tell me yesterday night.
I've done this night.
And then we had to fix for today. So thank you very, very much. That
thank you very much. Yes.
This is home. And I mean, kudos to you guys for sustaining this thing for the longest time. Like, it's always been there. Like I said, I was shocked when a very good friend of mine, I'll mention his name, Tito Abumere. I'm sure he's watching us right now. And he's such a huge fan of the... He said, oh, I'm going to tune in and listen to you guys on the show today. I'm like, wait, nice. You listen to these guys? You know, so it was a pleasant surprise to find out that so many people out there actually tune in to what, and I think it's because of the authenticity of how you guys present this thing. You're so vast and so knowledgeable. It's almost like you're sitting with human encyclopedias when it comes to you. So kudos to you guys. It is always home. Please, anytime I'm around, just call me and I'll jump and come.
Yeah, and let's throw this out too. It's an open invitation to movie makers, actors. If you are in town, if you are in Abuja, hit us up and tell us you want to be a part of the show.
Yeah.
We'll definitely invite you. Oh, that being said, Mr. Chris Odey, I'll be calling you shortly because you promised us Ramsey Noah in the month of September.
And
because we were on set actually with Ramsey Noah and he actually fell sick while shooting. Mm. So they had to move a couple of things around. So he'll be coming back to Abuja. And when he does that, we'll definitely have. But I'm just reminding you on air so that you not say we did not tell you. You understand? So actors, movie producers, let's hear you out. Let's have you and let's talk. There's this AMVCA winner that was supposed to be here also, but there was like a clash in schedule. But we are hoping that she will be
next week.
So yeah. So guys, always tune in. We have a surprise loaded for you.
Yeah. And since we couldn't talk about the Black Book, we'll be talking about it a little bit next week. So
guys, if you have watched Tito, get ready with your guns blazing.
Just get ready so we can talk a little bit about it, the good, the bad, what you liked, what you didn't like, and just appreciate Nollywood movies and everything. And talking about the Black Book, the song we're going to leave you with right now is actually a song from the movie, and it's called A Song for Dalu, made by Dinachi, and I think it's a very
Soft.
Do you know Dimbo Atia's wife can sing too?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes,
sir. She that voice. If my wife calls this set now, you not you think it's one you don't understand.
Anyways, guys, this brings us to the end of the show today. Catch you guys next week. Don't forget, follow us on all social media platforms, and don't forget, always love movies, watch them, series, television series, animes, everything. We will talk about it here.
We will talk about it. So it's a good night from us. Thank you, Mr. Dibu.
Thank you guys for having me. See you soon.